Technorama episode 677. The end of June is nigh. Hello and welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If you're joining us for the first time, thank you very much. If you are a return viewer slash listener, thank you for coming back. We greatly appreciate it. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me as always is the one and only, see if you can point in the right direction. No. No, that
one. I'm not looking at the video. There we go.
Craig Stab, how are you? You need to find that option that says, please reverse my video.
Well, no, I should. No, I had the show notes over my video. When you said that, I'm like, I can't see myself.
I had the show notes covered up by my video, too, when I started. That's why there was this big lag. It's 677. What was the title again?
Yeah, right. 677. Slide.
Oh. Well-oiled machine. Anyway. Hey,
by the way, don't you hate it when... Like, I'm trying to work. I got something on the screen I need to, like, cut and paste into, like, a terminal window.
Yes.
So I go open terminal, and it goes funk right over exactly where I'm, the stuff I need to read.
Or a pop-up ad. Yeah. Or a pop-up ad. It's like, hey. Like, I don't want to subscribe to your newsletter. Get out of my way.
Oh, man. If there was a switch for that.
Sounds like you had a wonderful week like I did.
Yeah, it's not, it wasn't bad.
Still employed. You did some traveling? No, you came back from travel last weekend, and you're going traveling again.
In a couple weeks, or a little less than that now, about a week and a half, yeah, about 2 weeks, I'll be going back out to California.
Have you been to the mothership yet? In Santa Clara?
Yes, I've been there twice, I think. At least once, I know, okay. For sure. But yeah, maybe twice.
I haven't been in the new building. I think we will be for August.
Wait, it's a new building?
There is a new building.
Oh, that's right. I did remember hearing about that. I don't know. I haven't traveled except for this last, up until this last trip, I haven't traveled in like 3 years for work. 2019 was the last year.
Yep.
So.
And traveling has, air travel hasn't gotten any better.
Gosh,
in some ways, it's gotten worse.
There's not a straight flight anywhere. I don't understand
I don't have a problem with that. Phoenix to San Jose. Done.
Well, not me. I think it gave me the option to go up or down, like to Atlanta or was it Detroit? Was the other one?
You can go to San Jose Airport via London Heathrow.
Yeah. That's probably not far off, honestly. Ridiculous.
And then you have to stop in Salt Lake City on the way there.
then I keep saying flights canceled and all that. Actually, last week.
The cancellations and delays are out of control right now.
Yeah. Last weekend when we traveled home, we were there all weekend, but I think that Friday there were storms and stuff. They showed Logan Airport, and it looked like a parking lot for planes. I was like, holy crap, we're going to be able to get out of here, but we didn't have any trouble.
All right, welcome to the Grumpy Old Man podcast.
Yeah.
Let's do the listener feedback.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters.
Don't do it.
Hey, I admit this is probably a stupid question of the week. I don't know what I was thinking.
I got some good hits.
Hey, I got a few.
Question of the week was, should smart devices and AI have a duty to report on you? If so, what things should they try to report on? And I'm going to go through Steve London's answer real quick. He says, heck yes and no effing way. It's a dilemma. If you don't have anything to hide, then don't worry. Let's say that in the future, the cell phones come with chemical sniffers and can detect residue of explosives or drugs, et cetera, et cetera. I was thinking like an alcohol breathalyzer thing to let you drive a car. Would it be nice if a terror attack is imminent and due to several people's cell phones, they could pick it up and attack is prevented? But then What is the next step? And I was thinking, poor guy who works in the fireworks department.
my only problem with the, hey, if you don't have anything, if you're not doing anything, you don't have to worry about sharing. That's great until you're accused of something that you weren't doing.
Yep. So check out the movie The Circle from 2017 with Emma Watson. Not exactly rendered to the question, but it's in the ballpark. But then where is the line drawn? Terrorist attack, drug usages, domestic violence, petty crime? You get the picture. My Google Nests. We all know they're listening. I think you might need a Google Home. I don't think the Nest actually has a microphone on it.
Yeah, it does.
The thermostat has a microphone on it?
Oh, the net. No, they rebranded all their little Nests.
Oh, the home, the speaker devices are all called Nests now?
They're Nest Home, Nest. Yeah, they're
changing up a little bit. Okay. Well, we have a few in the house, one in the office kitchen in the man cave, and one in the pensioner's incubator, the glassed up tents terrace. All the late night discussions and game discussions about RPGs and board games. That would trigger all the bells Homeland Security would be having their hands full. So, we will fully open Pandora's urn. We are sort of already there, but not towards the government, but rather towards large corporations with another agenda. Resistance is futile, he says. All your data are belong to me.
That's right.
And with that said, China is already there. UK and their face recognition, CCTV. The Swedish police are looking into plate scanning to find wanted cars, et cetera, et cetera. So we are slowly getting there. I would say, yes, this is a slippery slope. But you look back, I've been watching a lot of like cold case files and whatnot. And you think back in the 80s, they didn't have DNA testing. But if they kept the evidence, right. Now they do. Or facial recognition. Or, you know, there's a lot of technologies that help us solve crimes faster, preventing them, you know, not so much today. Actually, there are. The phone conversations and whatnot, AI is scanning through those to listen for certain keywords and bring up triggers for the NSA.
I don't think they're. I don't know if they're doing that anymore. Or they're not
supposed
to.
Yeah. Are you sure they're not?
I don't know. I don't work there.
So, but it is a slippery slope. When does it impede on your freedoms and your rights? And where's the line drawn?
Well, when you start talking about AI, I think the problem, one of the problems is if it recognizes something, it's the lack of judgment to say, oh, is this, you know, it may not be a black and white.
This gets into something that I'm going to talk about in the media corner for hand me the remote section for one of the shows we just watched. Very intriguing tie-in with that. Lone Guys Night says no, but it's not like my opinion will stop them.
I know, right? Once they become sentient, it won't matter. Gary Lindros says, when I've eaten all the ice cream in my refrigerator and order more for me. So there you go. A benevolent robot. Actually, the AI in that situation is just gaining his trust by here's some more ice cream.
That's what Mike Will said too. He said, no, unless it's to reorder supplies. Last rule of TP, buy more.
Yeah.
That's what the Amazon Dash button was supposed to be for. You park it next to the turlet, so when you're on your last roll, you push the button and more shows up.
Yeah, not that quick.
Well, day, 2 days, at least you don't run out.
When you put on the last roll, not when you're about to run out and
you peel that last square off the cardboard.
Where's that Amazon Prime?
Oh, appropriate explicative while I'm on the toilet.
Where's that hour delivery? Wonder if they'll bring it into the bathroom.
All right. Not a bad question, Craig. Not a bad question. We'll see if we get more next time at the end of the show. History time. On this day in history for June 29, 2022. Oh my gosh, we're halfway through the year. Time doth fly.
That's right.
It is the 180th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 185 days remaining in 2022. It was on this date in 1613 that the Globe Theatre in London, which of course we all know was built by William Shakespeare's playing company, Lord Chamberlain's Men. Well, the Globe burned to the ground on this day in 1613.
Wow. George Edward Garaud recorded Handel's Israel in Egypt on a phonograph cylinder, thought for many years to be the oldest known recording of music on this date in 1888.
Exactly, Eric.
That's a long time ago.
Oh, we got more names coming up. Don't worry. I intentionally found some physicists for us.
Okay.
That same date in 1927, the Bird of Paradise, a U.S. Army Corps Fokker trimotor. I said F-O-K-K-E-R, just in case you were wondering. It completed its first trans-Pacific flight from the mainland United States to Hawaii. I know you were thinking trans-Pacific would mean across the entire Pacific. That's not exactly what that means.
Right. And the space shuttle program STS-71 mission Atlantis docked with the Russian space station Mir for the first time on this date in 1995.
You hear? Who is it?
Your papers, please.
Also, today, 2007, Apple nerds will know what this day is. That's right. It's the anniversary, the 15th anniversary of the iPhone. 15 years. What a changer.
I wanted that so bad, but I never did get one.
The first one?
Yeah, I thought it looked great.
It looked great, but when you think they didn't have a store.
It was really
limited back then. It was 2G.
When it came out, I wanted one. Now I know much better. I'm like, no, there's no way I started to get
on board when they came up with the 3G. I went, okay, now we're getting somewhere. It's finally out of like the beta early test.
No,
anyway.
I was excited about it. I thought it looked cool, but
happy
I never did.
Happy birthday goes out in this date too. Italian astronomer and academic Angelo Secchi, born on this date in 1818.
And George Washington Goethals, the American general and engineer, co-designed the Panama Canal, was born 164 years ago today. Speaking of a long time ago.
What was that? Panama Canal, a man with a plan? Something. There was that anagram that did that. Yeah. William James Mayo, American physician and surgeon. With a name like Mayo, he either made a sandwich or he co-founded the Mayo Clinic. He was born today in 1861.
And George Ellery Hale, the American astronomer and journalist, was born 150 years ago today. Well, these people are old.
I'm gonna guess he had something to do with that comet Hale-Bopp back in 96, 97.
Oh, maybe.
Born June 29th, 1903, English engineer who developed the H2S radar, Alan Blumlein.
And Polish mathematician Witold Wurwitz was born on this date in 1904.
Can I interject? It's Witold Hurwicz. Hurwicz.
He was Polish, not German.
Polish people still say the W is V.
Okay, whatever.
Lech Walesa.
Great. You know what? He was born in 1904. I don't think he cares anymore.
All right, that doesn't hold a candle to this name. Born June 29, 1914, Greek-American mathematician academic Christos Papakriakopoulos.
Yes, that's made up.
Nailed it. 17 letters in that last name.
Yeah. Also born on that same date in 1944, American actor Gary Busey, who has a name I can pronounce.
Turning 67 today is American colonel, pilot, and astronaut James J. Precourt.
And English physicist and academic Terry Wyatt was born on this date in 1957.
And also born on the same date in 1962, 60 years ago today, American colonel, pilot, and astronaut George D. Zamka. Listener birthdays this week include June 30th, Alexis Duran, a.k.a. AD Dude. And, hey, he's one of our patrons, too. It's like we got a patron a week. This is awesome.
Wow.
We need
that
more patrons so we can
split them up.
That's our goal. A patron birthday a week.
Hmm.
Also, okay. July 4th, then we might have to send out birthday cards.
I know, right?
July 4th. Make us do it. If we get enough patrons where we have patrons a week, we'll start sending out birthday cards.
Chuck's throwing down a challenge.
That's right. July 4th is Mike McBride. Happy birthday to all of you. If it's your birthday and you're not on the calendar, we wish you all the best. Can't send you a birthday card, but we wish you all the best. And you can get your name on the birthday calendar because Craig's going to put the banner up for the viewers. And I'll tell the listeners that it's today's password is chuckchat.com/birthday.
Yeah.
And we will wish you a happy birthday at the appropriate time of year.
Oh, I was going to say when you hear the word birthday,
everybody scream
real loud. Scream.
Ah! All right, let's let the marching band go then. Oh, you know what? They're almost done. Can I just let it play out this last verse? Please?
Sure, why not?
Please?
Why not?
We all know the song. Here we go. Raise that trumpet! Yeah.
We need a baton.
I love this. Somebody has to walk backwards in the parade. It's always hey, remember, that guy. Yes.
Remember, do you remember early in podcasting, Adam Curry was, for a little while, would play marching music on it because it was copyright free.
I don't remember that.
He would. What do you actually call like a band that does that? The band, but the type of music.
Royalty free.
There's a name for it. But anyway, I'll have to look it up.
Keep your ass out of jail.
He would play that because his point being, you know, about copyright and podcasting. Right. And anyway, he was playing that kind of stuff. And some of it was really good. Surprisingly, it was really good.
Was it every Saturday at noon, I think it is, here in Phoenix, is a radio station that plays a high school band playing the national anthem. Now, if you remember, I believe the law states that you're supposed to get out of your car, put your hand over your heart when they play the national anthem. Can you imagine the highway traffic getting clogged up if everybody actually did that?
Yeah. No. I love my country, but how am I doing that?
All right, let's
It was marching cadence. But it was like cadence, marching band cadence. Or something like that. It had the word cadence. It's coming. Percussion cadences. That's it. Percussion cadences. That's what he was playing.
Like drum music?
Yeah, they were, you know, where they go up on the field and they're, and they got to march, right. You know, but yeah.
And then they started playing Tusk by Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
That's right. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a different approach tonight. We do have some stories, and we will get to many of them as we can.
We're going to David Letterman throwing the cards.
Yeah, that's kind of it. We were throwing out the script. I've got some new gadgets this week. Father's Day was very good to me.
By the way.
Yes.
Don't forget, I got one too. It's not on your list, but I got one.
Every time Craig says, by the way, take a drink.
Yeah, by the way. So... When you talk about your thing, after you talk about your devices, I got one too.
Oh, you do? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
This will be our new segment of devices. So I have a new phone, the Note 8, which I've had for 4.5 years, longest phone I've ever had. Prior to that, it was
literally
3 years.
Or you mean like time-wise?
Time-wise.
Was it the longest phone?
It was
you
the
had?
Longest duration I've had a phone.
Okay, there you go.
Oddly enough, I got the S22 Ultra 5G. It is darn near the exact same dimensions as the Note 8, which seemed like a giant at the time. And this is a pretty beefy phone. It's maybe a millimeter, maybe 2 millimeters thicker than the Note 8. So it was, and holy cameras on the back. This thing starts to look like that character where Saru was supposed to have multiple eyes with the big triangular wedge head.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's got good cameras. You'll enjoy
it. It's got good cameras. I was fooling around with them a little bit. Very nice stuff. Let me give you a quick rundown of what I like, what I didn't like, and what was just kind of meh. Okay. Screen. Beautiful screen. Edge to edge, top to bottom. Everything is fine. However, it makes me nervous when I'm holding it because there's no margin of error. Your finger is always on the screen somewhere.
Oh, like, yeah.
Am I touching it? Am I going to scroll? Am I going to do a two-finger gesture inappropriately? I don't know.
I haven't really had much. I've got the same phone, and I haven't really had that much trouble with that. So just throwing that out there.
I'm getting used to having the fingerprint reader on the main screen, which I kind of like. For a while, I was finding my finger was sort of drifting over the cameras, going, maybe those aren't in the right place.
Right.
You know, so some things have moved. I'll make it through the rest of what I like. I already mentioned the size. In the meh column, the buttons moved. The volume is no longer on the left and right. On the left, it's on the right, just above the power, which isn't bad. And I put it in the meh. It's like, okay, I got to get used to that. Doing a screenshot, I'm going to have to now purposely use the gesture where you swipe your hand across the screen because I used to do the power volume up or whatever it was.
You can still do as volume down and power. You can still do that.
Yeah. Well, by default, if you hold those, that's the way you power down the phone, which I had to read.
Just click it. Just click them. You don't have to hold
it. Yeah, I know. I'm getting there.
Okay.
The Verizon cutover was not flawless, but I will say, I went online. It said, hey, you know, what's your old number? What's your new number? They didn't even ask me for the IAEMIEIO thing, which sometimes they do. So the form was good. It submitted and said, error. What? Okay, let's try this again.
Yeah.
You can't. You already have one in submission. You can't submit a second one. So I call up the number. Nice gentleman answers the phone, helps me through it. He says, oh, well, I can't put in a ticket because you already have one started. I say, yeah, that's the problem. That's what I'm calling. Can you like nudge this thing or make sure it's working? He says, it's in progress. Well, what should I do? He says, you know, he gives me all these instructions and then discovers there's a ticket already in progress. He walked me through it and eventually it did work. And get this, he even called back to make sure it worked.
No.
Yes. So
wow.
Kudos to Verizon service for that. Guy gets an A+. Transferring the old data, which Apple has down cold. Samsung has their, what is it, Samsung Sync or whatever.
Switch.
Yeah, that's what it is. You can do Wi-Fi or you can do USB. I'm like, USB's going to be faster, right? USB didn't work for crap.
Really?
Not at all. No, and I had these things both plugged in. I took the case off the old one thinking maybe it's a disconnect. Didn't work for crap. So I did the Wi-Fi. It says, okay, we're done. And I'm like, well, okay, where's my Gboard, you know, for the Google keyboard? Where's my apps?
Yeah, there's.
What it does is it sets up like this work list of things it needs to still install. Because I went to the store and I said, install Gboard. It says, I'm pending. Like, I didn't ask you. Okay. So there's a backlog. You got to wait like another hour and a half for the 134 apps. And listen, people, check. And I'm not even like crazy on apps, but there's, you know, you got your 5 finance ones, you got your 6, you know, for social media and
DoorDash. And
I would not consider myself overboard on apps, but 134 is a lot of apps and it has to install those all one at a time.
Right.
Most of them kept their preferences, but they didn't keep their login. So you got to go through that pain suffering of log into Netflix. Honey, what's our Netflix? Do I have that in the vault? No, I don't have that one in my vault. It's just like, oh.
Yeah.
So that took a while. Going through and what was the other one? The lock screen alerts are much smaller than they used to be. I know it's a different version of Android than I had before. But I kind of liked my big old, you know, the YouTube icon was readable.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's not.
Yeah. You can do a zoom. Actually, you can go into the display and set the zoom.
So many bazillion settings on this, which is nice, but it starts to feel like Windows where you got to go down 14 layers to find what you're looking for. And then remember it 4.5 years later. Is it still there? Is it not? I was watching some videos that were setting up the S22. On, you're like, hey, you can turn off 5G if you want to save some battery if 5G isn't available in your area. Their menus look nothing like mine. I don't know. And this is a video from March, 3 months ago. Go, what?
Yeah.
So yeah, something changed.
Things do change. Yeah.
You know, so in the Mac column was setting up all those notifications. How do you want your preferences? Logging into everything. Under the, I really didn't like this. Re-entering my 2-factor authentication codes. Please, you had them on the old phone. We're transferring things over with your software. Bring this over. So one of them, I actually had to generate a new code. Going, oh, please. And
I need to talk offline. I can show you.
I've got like 5 or 6 of them. You know, Twitter, Evernote.
Work.
Oh, don't get me started on work. Pairing the watch. I got a Samsung Galaxy Watch, for crying out loud. I said, okay, old phone, unpair. New phone, try pairing. It wouldn't pair. I had to do a factory reset on the watch. It's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
The Edge widgets, I had 3 that I use all the time. One was Smart Select. One was the people one, where you could just swipe out the panel, the contact. And the other was Yahoo Finance. It no longer exists. It was just a nice way to go, how's the stock market doing today? Swipe, done. Nope, yeah. Gone. It doesn't exist anymore. I'm really messed
up. I have
a
feeling that the Yahoo one is gone because of the changes at Yahoo. I don't know.
You didn't have to delete functionality from your software.
Well, yeah, that's what I guessed. I did have that one.
Adding the custom ringtones back, you know, they don't make it easy for custom notifications. Custom ringtones, not bad. But if it when I did the sync, okay, the Note 8 had 64 gig of internal memory and 128 on an SD card. The sync didn't pay any attention to the SD card. So no pictures, no custom ringtones, no nothing that was in that file structure.
Right.
So I had to manually load them all on. And then I fire up, it was either Gallery or Google Photos, and one of them said, hey, you want to save 128 gig? You have a lot of duplicate stuff that doesn't need to be here anymore. Like, sure.
Oh, but once your pictures are uploaded on Google, it'll give you the option to delete the local version.
And something I know I've said this before about Samsung, bloatware. My God, they've gotten worse. I don't need Candy Crush Saga preloaded on a brand new phone. Thank you. I don't play that game. Yeah. Never have. Don't care. I deleted it.
I don't think that's Samsung. I think that's Verizon.
It could have been Verizon.
Yeah, I think it's Verizon because mine didn't have that.
I know a lot of people do play that, but I don't.
Yeah.
Please don't. There's another one on there that I can't delete called AR Zone. It makes a 3D avatar emoji kind of thing.
That is part of Samsung's thing.
Yeah, I don't need it. I don't want it, and I can't delete it.
You can disable it, but you can disable apps. No, you can't. You can hide them.
I threw it in a folder way down in the launcher.
Yeah, you can hide apps, by the way.
They also changed the way you move icons around. In you know, when you swipe up to get all your apps.
Yes.
You have to press and hold. And they don't start wiggling around. Every other app that I use, every other operating system where you can reorder things, you press and hold and they start all wiggling. So you can just drag and put them where you want. Oh, no. If you press and hold too long, it'll just throw it on your home screen. Like, no, that's not what I wanted. You have to press just the right amount. And then this thing comes up and says, select. Now, I get the idea that you can select multiples and say, maybe I want to create a folder.
Right.
It's different than everything else. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really care for that so much. So in general, I'm happy with the phone. I feel like I'm back on track. My ringtones are in place. The notifications are in place. It's behaving nicely. I'm discovering there's new functionality. There's a lot of new menus in the setting. Go through the settings and learn them. I'm still trying to find some things that I had before that I haven't seemed to quite enable yet. But we're getting there. We're getting there.
All right. Well, if you need anything, let me know. I'll try and point you in the right direction.
You do need a case, and I think this is true for every phone these days. You need a case because all the cameras stick out now. iPhone or Android, they stick out, and you will never be able to set this thing flat on the table. And, you know, I don't want my camera to be the first thing that hits a surface.
I know, right?
So, yeah. I got a... Last time I had a Spigen with a kickstand, and it was all right. It was a two-piece thing. It had like a hard framework and then a softer part that the phone actually clipped into. But, you know, after 4.5 years, it's a little beat up, a little broken, a little worn and torn. This new one is one piece, and the kickstand is metal. It actually comes out a different way. Instead of coming out the long way of the phone, it comes out the short way of the phone. It's metal, so... It almost acts like a pop socket in a way. I can rest my fingers on it, and boy, howdy, this thing could be used as a weapon at some point. It's got a beveled edge. You can't see it on camera.
Wait, Mr. Mugger.
But I could use this as a screwdriver if I wanted to. Lifetime warranty. So, enjoying the phone. The battery charge is holding up really well for the last few days.
Oh, yeah, I just got the leather case, and it lays flat. I like that.
Yeah, my buddy Scott was saying he's been using leather cases for about the last 6 years. I should check into that. But I like the kickstand, especially like when you're on a plane. You don't have to hold your phone. You can just set it on the...
Actually, you know what I do when I'm on a plane? I've done this before. As I had a hat. I take my hat off and set the phone inside the crown of it.
Some planes now have an iPad and iPhone holder. Up by the information card pocket.
Right.
That's nice, because then you're not looking down the whole time and getting a sore neck. You can actually look where your eyes would normally go. That leads me to my second new toy.
Wait a minute. Here you go. John, Scott says.
Fax machine and written letters. Carrier pigeons and smoke signals for the old man. Okay. Second new toy is a pool monitoring system. An electronic, connects with the phone. It's the brand is Water Guru. They're not sponsoring this in any way. Waterguru.com. And I got a flyer in the mail, like the postal mail, with a discount code. It says, hey, you know, get $50 off if you order before June 20th. So I pulled the trigger on that. I was previously
looking. Our aerial drones noticed you had a pool.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty much. Yeah. The real estate agent sold us a list, which they often do. The I'd looked at another one years ago called the Phin, P-H-I-N. And it was a bit pricey, and it felt like you were kind of locked into a subscription plan for their chemicals and whatnot. Oh. It was like $350, and the chemical prices weren't all that good. This one was significantly cheaper. I want to say it was $225, but I'm getting mixed up with my next gadget. It was in that price range. And yes, you do have to buy cartridges for the sensors, because they last like 30 days or 30 tests. And you can get three of them for $45. So what is that, about $15 a month? I got to put a new cartridge in. But it's really nice because it doesn't monitor all of the same things the Phin does. I think they're known for like seven or eight sensor readings. This has four basic ones. pH, free chlorine, flow, and I can't remember, temperature, I think is the other one. And it said, your free chlorine is down. It's like, that's good to know. So I don't have an algae bloom.
Yeah.
The other one is a pH. I have a saltwater pool and it eats acid like crazy. And it said, your pH is a little high. Dump some acid in it. Okay. Brought that acid down over the next few days.
Hydrochloric acid.
And muriatic acid, actually. And it started to creep up. And my Saturday routine is add some more acid. So, you know, just keeping an eye on that so that it's not out of control. Or if something were to happen, you know, where I'm on a trip. Hey, Grantis, can you go dump half a gallon of acid in the pool? And you know,
and prepare it for the bodies.
Don't splash or you'll ruin your shoes and your shorts. So that's been doing nice. It's got probably 4 or 5 days of testing. It tests once a day. So I wake up in the morning and it tells me what the pool readings were. Unfortunately, it says the flow is low because it tests at midnight when the pump is running on slow speed. Like, fine. Yeah, the pump is slow. Not going to worry about it. I run 4 hours on slow speed, 4 hours on high speed. Just so I can keep generating chlorine without running the little pool cleaner all over the place. So it's it's a luxury item, but it's nice having that visibility into something that could easily turn into a really expensive problem.
Yeah.
Why is the pool green this morning? Oh, go get a whole bunch of shock and kick it back into shape. So
I can always change it over to selenium or selenium. Saltwater pool.
It is a saltwater pool.
Well, what are you doing with all the... I didn't think that you had to do all that stuff.
It uses the salt to generate chlorine because salt is sodium chloride.
Right.
And when the water goes through these electrical plates, depending on how you've got it configured, it makes a little or it makes a lot. It splits the chlorine apart from the sodium and you get chlorine in your pool.
Sure.
So that's how it knows. You still have to have chlorine. That's your number one algae killer. So it is a saltwater pool. So works with both, which is nice. That was one of the things that I wanted to check first. Third toy I got, teleprompter. Finally got a teleprompter in this studio.
Oh, look at there. So let me tell you what to say.
Had one in my Amazon wish list. And it said, hey, it's on sale. And I went, oh, good, because I need to spend more money. Actually, I do have a number of new videos that require some script reading. And when we come up to events and whatnot, that'll be really nice. Now, the hardest part was not putting this thing together. It was finding the right software for the iPad. The one that it comes with a remote. Okay. It almost looks like a little slide clicker, but it's got a few more buttons. It's got a button that says start or okay. It's got a little track wheel and it's got X, Y, A, and B like a game controller. So there's 6, 7 buttons on this thing. I haven't figured out what most of them do. One is like go faster, go slower, stop, go back. And when you're reading, you got to kind of figure out what your speed is. And right. if you're falling behind, you go faster. The problem with that app that came with it, it says, you know, once you've got this up and running, is it doesn't integrate with anything. So if you want a script, you have to copy and paste it. Well, at work, we're often modifying the script and then do a retake, then modify the script and do a retake, which means you'd have to move the document somewhere, copy and paste the text into the teleprompt program and then run. Not the most ideal situation. So I went searching around and found some other apps. Many of them cost some money. And I found one that has some built-in, like, speech-to-text almost. It knows when you're reading a story, and it knows the words. It hears. It's listening to you and advances as you listen. So no remote control. The problem is... the start button is on the iPad on the teleprompter.
Like, oh, come on.
Way over there. Now, they do have another app. This one was $20, and it was nice. For another $10, you can get an app on your iPhone or other device that says, okay, start, and it will start. It'll basically click the play button. The problem is it's only got like a 2.4 rating on the store. I'm like, I don't know if I want that. It's not getting really good reviews.
Oh, no, yeah.
So I'm not going to spend $10 for that. So I'm still playing around with some of the software. Let me give you a sample of an article that I took out of our story from the news section about the physicist that built an atom laser that can run forever. And I will read you this as the words, and I'll be able to look right at the camera as I'm reading this. That's the nice part is, you know, you can keep that eye line. Previously, I had a big monitor behind the camera, and I would adjust the notes and make sure that I was pretty close to the eye line. So let me reach and hit the play button.
I can't reach it from here.
You need your thing longer.
That's exactly what I need.
Yeah. And there's the magic hand. He's going to do some puppets.
Okay.
Some shadow puppets.
A new breakthrough has allowed physicists to create a beam of atoms that behaves the same as any laser, and can be theoretically stay on forever. Science Alert reports, at the root of the atom laser is a state of matter called a Bose-Einstein condensate, or BEC. A BEC is created by cooling a cloud of bosons to just a fraction above absolute zero. At such low temperatures, the atoms sink to their lowest possible energy state without stopping completely. When they reach these low energies, the particles' quantum properties can no longer interfere with each other. They move close enough to each other to sort of overlap, resulting in a high-density cloud of atoms that behaves like one super atom or matter wave.
A super atom.
However, BECs are something of a paradox. They're very fragile. Even light can destroy a BEC. Given that the atoms in a BEC are cooled using optical lasers, this usually means that a BEC's existence is fleeting. Atom lasers that scientists have managed to achieve to date have been of the pulsed rather than the continuous variety and involve firing off just one pulse before a new BEC needs to be generated. In order to create a continuous BEC, a team of researchers at the University of Amsterdam in the Netherlands realized something needed to change. Quote, in previous experiments, the gradual cooling of atoms was all done in one place. In our setup, we decided to spread the cooling steps not over time, but in space. We make the atoms move while they progress through consecutive cooling steps, unquote, explained physicist Florian Schreck. Not that Schreck. In the end, ultra-cold atoms arrive at the heart of the experiment where they can be used to form coherent matter waves in a BEC. But while these atoms are being used, new atoms are already on the way to replenish the BEC. In this way, we can keep the process going essentially forever. So, how about that?
Yeah, nice.
Love cold reads.
Do you?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the teleprompter. That was about another $200 or so. And it's the brand is Neewer. Neewer? Neewer. Mm-hmm. N-E-E-W-E-R.
Neewer.
It's they also make lights and a lot of stuff for studios and podcasts. Usually on the lower end of the price spectrum, sometimes on the lower end of quality, but this one had some decent reviews. I looked at two or three of them. That's why this one ended up on my wish list. Very handy for doing studio stuff. I've wanted one for years. The old studio setup wasn't conducive for it, but when I got the new studio setup, what was that, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, with the tripod and the camera, and I said, this needs a teleprompter.
Here, Scott Tyler asks, does it stop if you stop midway?
Well, yes,
you can stop with the controller, right?
Yes. No, that was completely voice activated. So when I was off script and I threw some off script lines in there on purpose, it actually stopped.
Okay.
It's still playing right now. Obviously, I can't rewind, but yes. Yeah. Now, what Craig and I were doing before the show, I had it on play and something must have triggered it to move a little bit. I was not reading the script, but it moved a little bit. That's the application that I would like to use. It also has integrations to Dropbox and Google Drive and OneDrive and whatnot. So you can bring things in, whereas the other application didn't. So this one was $20. It's got the auto advance. It's got integration with other files. But again, I can't start it remotely, whereas the crappy one starts remotely.
Again, you need the thing longer.
I need the thing longer, or I need to...
get a wooden
breakdown and test that $10 app that lets me start it on another device. So we'll see.
Get a wooden dowel. You can just.
Okay, we are at 41 minutes. Should we just jump ahead to the TV section? What are we watching?
I can say what I was going to talk about later, but that's all right.
We should definitely thank our patrons in here. They're very important to us. So let's do the patron music. Thank you to our patrons. This show is brought to you by you, even though we're doing it. A nerd out moment with some new toys.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun, you know, Technorama, it's in that general area. The patrons include this week Alexis Duran, AD Dude, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman.
Excuse me. I was going to say, we're serious about this.
Getting all choked up. Where was people. I? Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dandy Man Coyer. I wish I had this on the teleprompter now.
I know.
Tim Cook, Dean Jensen, it's in the monitor right below. Denise English, Gary Lindros, thank you very much, last week's guest. John Clifford, John Noble, Jorga Schrawin, thank you, Kyle Nishioka, and Leon, and Mark Kilfoyle. Thank you, Matt Baum, Mike Wills, Chris Martinez, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshey, Steve Therian, Steve Cody, and Sweet Steve London from Sweden. What are you sticking up over there? You still have the title up. Does it stop mid-story?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought I hit the button to turn off. There you go. There it is.
There it is. If you want to be a patron, you can join us at patreon.com/technoramapodcast. If we've injected a little bit of information or humor into your life in the past, who knows how long, consider it. Consider it a friendly gesture. For as little as $1 a show, not only get your name read out on this, but you also get another podcast that we record right after this. Kind of the back room where we're you know, chit-chatting about, well, you heard Gary's testimonial last week. It's it's like a backstage pass.
Yeah, last week we were talking about where did everybody go?
Where did everybody go? Yes, it was, and that often leads into other discussions. I think we spent almost 30 minutes on that call. So I'm going to fade that out. And stop that and bring it back. So hopefully that faded out. I'm trying to use the right profile on this mixer, and I've got to figure out why the other one isn't working right.
Well, I got a new toy, too.
What did you get?
Actually, work bought them. I got the Meta Quest 2, the headset, the Facebook headset.
Oh, yeah, right.
The VR headset. And at first, you know, without owning one, I was like, yeah, it's kind of a, it seems like a little bit of a fad, like 3D movies or something like that. But when I started getting into it, I found it was kind of fun. There's games you can install, of course. I tried to set up an app called Immersed, which is not a game, but is it lets you see your desktop in space there, and
okay.
you can, and it'll add virtual desktops. So you can, you know, drag apps around off to those virtual desktops, and it worked. And it may be a little bit of a limitation of my computer. I'm not sure, but it seemed like it wasn't very stable, but I think if I used the cable or something, it would work. But the funny thing was I went, okay, let's see if I can do something. I was going to like type an email, and I was like, okay, where about the keyboard? Cause I'm looking through the virtual environment. How do you see your keyboard and your mouse?
Right.
Well, the mouse is easy enough. I know where it's at by muscle memory. The keyboard, I could probably type, but it was, you can't line your fingers up.
If you're not a touch typist, forget it.
Right. Well, I'm a mix. But anyway, so I can turn on pass through, and it shows you the view from the infrared cameras that are tracking your,
okay.
your space.
Yep.
And it would put a rectangle. You could move the rectangle so you could see your keyboard. That helped a little bit, but those are not the most clear cameras. So I don't know. I got to work on that a little bit. I don't know if I can mess with that much. I don't think I can wear them and work. That would just be too distracting. I'm not sure about that. But one of the coolest things that I've seen ever, and I played Vader Immortal, which is a Darth Vader based.
Oh yeah, you were telling us about that.
Yeah, and so the first time I played it, I opened up the thing, and I'd read a video or saw a video. The guy mentioned the Saber Dojo. I went, oh, well, I got to look at this. So I saw that on the menu. I hit it, and you're standing in a room. This little pedestal's in front of you.
Yeah.
And there's a lightsaber sitting on a little cradle. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? So I reach out. I use the controller. And there's two buttons. One of them is to grab. Hold on. So one of them is to grab, and then one is to turn on. So I grabbed it, and I'm holding it, and it's very intuitive. You can look at the bottom of it. You can move it around. And I hit the button. As soon as I did, the little saber drones came out of the floor. And you're trying to swipe at them. Some of them are shooting at you. And there's different levels, so you can kind of progress. And
they need to put on the shock pants, so when you actually get shocked by one.
I know. Well, you can kind of feel it in the controller. All right. So then there's robots and or droids, rather. And they have laser, almost like lightsabers. And they're coming at you, and so you level up. But the really cool thing is I actually finished the first chapter, and your ship gets impounded by the Empire. You're talking, Darth Vader wants you, he recognizes that you're a Force-sensitive person. He wants you to try and open this box.
I felt your presence.
Yeah, felt your presence. Open the box, right? And then there's this whole thing. You end up in the bottom of Mustafar. It's like an ancient temple down below, and he has you put the thing that you opened into the thing. It's going to open a gateway. He's trying to get the power to bring Padme back to life. You know, he wants to subvert death. Anyway, the thing starts going down. These robots jump down, and he says, "Protect the prisoner at all costs," which he's talking about me. So I light up my lightsaber, and I'm fighting the robots. I look over, he's fighting robots, and I'm too busy looking at him because you see his red saber, then you see him take two of them, and he's using the force to, you know, squeeze them, and I'm like, that is so cool, and all of a sudden, poof, poof, I'm getting hit. I'm like, oh, I got to keep fighting. But I got so excited about it, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, so... long story short, it was a lot of fun.
We've lost Craig to the metaverse already.
I know, to the dark side. But anyway, I see it more. It's got more potential than the fad, like I thought. But it still needs to be worked out. You know, there's a lot of, I don't know. It's hard to say, but rather than just using it for games is what I was getting at. It needs some more work in that direction. But the 3D environment's great. I can mark off a place on the floor, and it keeps me in that area. You know, so when you get closer, you see like almost like a holodeck. These little crosshairs light up.
Hey, pretty soon you won't have to travel to San Jose. You just sit in the virtual conference room of hell.
Well, there is a thing for that. You can sit in a conference room with everybody's avatars, which I'm not going to do. I don't know if I want to do that, but I was joking with my team because we're going out to Santa Clara together. I said, hey, we all need to bring our Oculuses or our MetaQuest so we can do a virtual meeting while we're in Santa Clara.
Well, you're in person doing a virtual meeting. This time, remember...
Well, we'll be in the conference room.
This time, remember to have your avatar wear pants, Craig.
That's right. I was playing around with my avatar, and I made it look like Max Headroom.
How much does one of those things look?
Cost, you mean?
Yeah, how much does it cost?
For the base model, it was like $329, about $329. Yeah, it's not
cheap. And how much was the Star Wars game?
Oh, they had a deal, so I got all three chapters for $13.
Whoa.
That I know. I was like, deal. I know. I saw, well, if you buy them in the goggles, you know, on the store and the thing, it said $10 a piece. I was like, oh, $30. And I pulled up the Oculus app on my computer and it said 13. I went, oh, done. I'm done. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. The lightsabers blew me away. Anyway, so there's more to it. It's a lot of fun. I thought it was more worth it.
Speaking of Star Wars, I saw a picture today. You may have seen this one already, of Yoda when he was dying or just died. You know, and he's laying in his bed in Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, after being a parent, I can completely understand how Yoda was so tired of Luke asking questions that he just wanted to die.
Yeah, just disappear. That's right. Oh, I'll tell you one other thing that was cool.
What's that?
With the Quest, the Netflix app, it looks like you're sitting on a couch and it's got a big screen with a fireplace and all that kind of stuff. That was kind of neat. And the YouTube, pulling up YouTube and going through some of the 360 videos that they have online. I did a zip line. This is cool. I'm sitting in my chair. I got it set in stationary mode, so it's a circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching this guy do a zip line over the Grand Canyon, and he's kind of turning a little bit. And I was like, I'm in my chair. I just kind of turned it too, and it gave me that little out of body experience there for a minute because you could see his legs, and I wasn't touching the floor. I was just kind of floating in the chairs, you know, going back and forth.
Put your chair on the highest height.
Yeah, I just needed a fan blowing in my face right, so I get the real effect.
Just say, it kind of loses it if you're not feeling that acceleration and swing.
Right. Anyway, it's fun, and I'll play with some more.
All right, you know what? We are making a really long show here, and I don't think we're going to get to pass me the remote. What do you say we save these for next week?
That's fine.
We have a lot more in the show notes for you. If you're interested, you go over to chuckchat.com/technorama. Look for episode 677. We've got stories about Buzz Lightyear and his videos on NASA.gov. Mm-hmm. We've got Amazon's first fully autonomous mobile warehouse robot. And you're probably saying to yourself, but what about the children who need their summer jobs in Amazon warehouses?
Oh, the children?
Something that I found really interesting was the Macintosh history. This is over at
systemtalk.org.
They're mm-hmm. going through a history of the early Macintosh, and Craig found this article about the Macintosh Plus. Ooh.
Yeah.
This was their first update in like almost a year, was it? A little over a year? Like, now we have a numeric keypad. A lot of these things were pretty astounding. You got to remember that the Mac back then was 32-bit, and you know that's way more powerful than and cheaper when you look at it. They had an ad in there for the Compaq Desk Pro, which was Compaq was a premium brand at the time, but to get their 286 Desk Pro was like over $5,000. And here's the humble little Mac Plus for almost half that. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty.
And people
pretty
used to
amazing.
Say, "Oh, but the Mac is so expensive." Not when you look at it like that.
Well, you know what? I would argue even today, even from some of the Mac the MacBook Pros that we use for work and
yeah.
other Macs. You get a lot of life out of those things if you really, if you stay off of the upgrade, cycle and just kind of say, I'm going to use this for a long time. You can use it for a long time.
Oftentimes it's the software you're using that won't run on your 4-year-old operating system.
That's true, but I do have an old Mac. I can still fire mm-hmm. it up and it works. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying is you can get some life out of these things.
Well, even back then, they got a lot of life out of them. You could use, System 3 to System 7.5.5, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like you got a new OS every year like it is today. So You get a lot of life out of the old computer. Anyway,
There's also a link in here. I think you may have mentioned it, the Seiko TV watch.
I did not see that one.
That's the one we were talking about earlier before the show. And then Remember When? I wanted one of those so bad when I was a kid. I saw one of those. And there's a link to speaking to Meta, they're talking about their VR investment. And here's something interesting. I know this is a Kickstarter, so I thought everybody might be interested in this one. It's 50 years of text games. It's like it looked like it was a rundown on the history of all of the text adventure games that you've ever seen. From Zork to everything. I mean, there was Oregon Trail, this stuff. So I thought this was an interesting Kickstarter. I'm considering jumping in on it, but it's supposed to give you a couple of big books or several big books, volumes, and has all kinds of good information about the old text games that we used to love.
Thank you for finding all those links, even though we didn't use all of them tonight.
Yeah, but, it's all right. There'll be more. We'll make more for next week.
The internet will make more for us, and we'll sift through millions of articles to find the juicy tidbits that make Technorama special.
Yeah, it's not us. It's the links.
So our question of the week before we leave you is, what is your comfort series that you watch over and over again?
Hoarders.
Forensic Files. I can never remember who did it.
Cold Case Files.
Yeah.
No, I got a better answer than that.
Yeah, crime series is probably not something you watch over and over again.
Yeah. I'll tell you one right now. I haven't watched it in a while, but Malcolm in the Middle.
Really?
Yeah, I got those. That show was crazy fun.
I have movies that I watch over and over. I don't know that there's too many series that I watch over and over.
Well, Star Trek. I mean, you watch Star Trek, you know.
Okay.
If you're sick, would you watch TNG or something like that, maybe?
You mean like when I was stuck in Australia? Yes, I watched TNG over and over because they'd say they'd play the same episode on Tuesday as they would on Wednesday.
Well, you had the internet. You could pull up Pluto TV and watched it.
Actually, I couldn't use Paramount Plus in Australia.
Pluto TV, though?
Now you tell me.
Well, Pluto TV has the channel.
Ended up watching Love Boat. Then I find myself doing research on what ship did they use. They actually used three different ships. Oh, which ones were decommissioned? Like, this is really? Yes. Okay. Yes. This is where my brain was bored in the off hours. And then A-Team was another one.
It was Love Boats.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not going to get into it here because
we're at the top of the hour. Yeah.
Go look at the cruise ship that they used for the Sun Princess. It's tiny by comparison to the mega liners they have these days.
John Miller Jr., he loves House MD.
House. All right. So, comfort series, let us know. We're going to put this on social media next week.
Yep.
Love to talk to you about it and see what the responses are from the internet. Thank you, everybody. We are going to pull that trigger, play that music, and get you to the end of the show stuff. If you want to get in touch with us, you can answer that question via the voice line. It's still there, 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you, 707-530-CHAT. If you don't have that in your speed dialer in your phone directory, you really should by this time. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Your go-to comfort series that you watch when you're sick or stuck in Australia.
You can just listen to Technorama. There's plenty of it.
That's a comfort series? Yeah, go through it three or four times. All 600 plus shows. No problem.
Yeah, 670 something.
On double speed and see what you get out of that.
Yeah.
All right. Until next week, everybody take care, stay safe, and Craig, give me a binary high five.
All right. 101.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
I don't know what I'm doing there.
He waves even when there's no camera on.